Good afternoon. It's good to see everyone who is willing and able to come back this afternoon to hear and study another portion of God's Word. Tonight, what I'd like to talk about for a short time is, in a way, a continuation of the lesson I gave last Sunday morning about how God views all people as equal. Today, I'd like to spend a few minutes looking at a man who Jesus said, if he could, he would have called him greatest among men. But because all men are equal, he could not really do that. But we're referring to John the Baptist. Now, I think most of you know here that I grew up, my mother and father were both Catholic, and they raised me as a Catholic, and the church that we went to and the school that I went to, as most Catholic churches are, carry the name of a different saint or a different person from the New Testament. The church that we went to was named John the Baptist. And so this was a character from the Bible that I was always kind of fascinated with because of that early exposure. Just simply through it being the name of the place where we went. It's somebody that's always, I think, is a fascinating character in the Bible and one who really serves as a bridge between the Old and the New Testament. And we're going to look at his life and some of the things that Jesus had to say about him and what kind of place that he has in the history of the church and in God's plan for mankind. The first scripture I'd like to read this afternoon is from Matthew chapter 11. I'd like to begin there reading in verse 1. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, out of the King James translation. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus here showing the respect and the regard that he had for John, as John was the one who was appointed by God to be the messenger that would come before the Messiah to proclaim that that time was at hand. And he was telling the people that the importance of what John represented was that God's promise that was made in the long ago was finally coming to pass, and John was the one who brought the first news that that was going to happen. We see here where John sent these two of his followers to talk to Jesus. And in every other place that I've read, John was very confident that Jesus was the Messiah. And this particular way this is written almost makes it sound like John questioned whether or not Jesus was the Messiah. But I think what he did was he sent these disciples, his disciples there, to kind of prove to them. It's like they weren't convinced. And this was something that John had to deal with as Jesus began to teach. He had to convince the people that had followed him and become his disciples that he was not the Messiah. He would tell people over and over again, I am not the Messiah. I'm the one who was sent before the Messiah. It's like my importance has to diminish and Jesus' importance has to increase because that's the way God wants things to happen. And so these men, no doubt, were sent to Jesus not to reassure John, but so that they could be reassured that Jesus was exactly who John told them that he was. The Gospel of Luke begins with the story of John's conception and birth. For time tonight, I'm not going to read through all of that. I usually like to read because it explains it better than I can stand up here and talk about it, but I'm going to try to paraphrase some of this so we don't have a lengthy reading in that chapter. But Zacharias was the father of John. He was a Levite. He served at the temple, and his duty and responsibility at the temple was to burn incense in the holy place. And Dennis has done a very good job of educating us all on the operation of the temple and how that worked. And certainly the temple was still active in Jerusalem at this time. And it was Zacharias was one of the ones who was appointed to go in and burn incense. He was married to a lady named Elizabeth. She was of the daughters of Aaron, so she was a descendant also of the tribe of Levi. And they were an older couple, and they did not have children. And Zacharias was in the temple doing his responsibility in there of burning the incense when an angel appeared to him. One of the angels that we heard about this morning, Gabriel. I'd like now to read from Luke chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 11. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Gabriel was the angel that appeared to Zacharias. He's also the one who would later in this chapter we see would talk to Mary and tell her that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. Because Zacharias didn't believe the things that Gabriel was telling him, he was mute until John was born. And so Elizabeth did conceive a son, just like Gabriel told Zacharias that she would. And so she began to prepare for the birth of their child. After Gabriel visited Mary and told her that Elizabeth was going to have a child, Mary went to visit Elizabeth because they were cousins. They were related in some way. We know that Mary was descendant from David, which is the tribe of Judah. But somehow in their family there, they were related. And so she went to visit Elizabeth, and when she arrived there and called out to Elizabeth, the baby John moved in his mother when he heard the voice of Mary. And so this tells us that Jesus and John were very close in age, within probably five or six months of being the same age. Later on in Luke, we read that 8 days after John was born, as was the custom of the Jews, that he was to be circumcised. And that's the point in time in which his name would be given. And since Zacharias was still mute, the people that were there assisting with the circumcision kind of took it upon themselves to say that his name was going to be Zacharias. And Elizabeth said, no, his name is going to be John. And when they didn't want to listen to what she had to say, they turned to Zacharias, and he wrote on a tablet, his name is John. And once they proclaimed that his name would be John, then Zacharias was no longer mute. He could begin to talk. And so this is what he had to say once he got his voice back. We're going to read this from Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 67. Beginning in verse 67 of Luke chapter 1. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. For thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto this people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. As I mentioned earlier, we can definitely say that we can confidently say that John and Jesus were approximately 6 months apart, John being born first. So we realize when Jesus comes to be baptized of John in Luke chapter 3 and 23, it tells us that Jesus was about 30 years old at that time. So John also would have been 30. And this was the time normally when the Levites that had been selected to serve at the temple would begin their service. And so John, being the son of Zacharias, a Levite, and his mother being of the daughters of Aaron, who was a Levite, it would have fallen upon John to be one who served the temple. But instead of serving the temple, he's out in the wilderness and going about through Jordan and other places, telling people that the time for the Messiah is at hand. I'd like now to go forward a little bit in Luke to chapter 3 and begin reading there verse 1. Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea and of the region of Trachonicus, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Albane, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John the son of Zacharias in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for, or this should more correctly be translated, towards the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned ye to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father, for I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. So we see as John is setting about the groundwork of proclaiming that the time of the Messiah is at hand, he's also beginning to spread the teachings that Jesus would later expound upon. And again, one of the things that we talked about last week of the idea of treating people the way you wanted to be treated, and treating everyone equally and the same, John begins to lay the groundwork for that by telling the Jews basically what he's telling them is it's time for them to stop being selfish. It's time for them to stop thinking of themselves in terms of what they think they deserve for themselves, as well as a people. They need to stop being selfish about the idea that God was only going to be watching over and protecting and blessing them, because we realize that once Jesus came, that he would continue to establish that under the new covenant, that all would have a chance of everlasting life. And the kind of the attitudes and the ideas that were being carried forward at this time, God was no longer going to look upon those ideas in a favorable way. The scriptures tell us that John did not perform miracles. We can read about that in John chapter 10, verses 39 through 42. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. So John was, unlike Jesus, who had miracles to show his authority from God, John, as far as we know from what the scriptures tell us, was not performing miracles. He was simply out telling the Jews what, not what they wanted to hear, but what they needed to hear about how they needed to make their lives right with God, and that the time that the Messiah that so many generations of the Jews have been looking for was finally at hand, and his responsibility was to prepare the Jews for that. And that's why we mentioned the wording of Luke chapter 3, where it says that he came preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. John's baptism was for repentance, preparing the people for the coming of the Messiah. Once Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, that's when the baptism of remission became available to anyone who would take the steps of salvation and accept and believe that Jesus was the Son of God. So the baptism that John taught, and we're going to see that later, was not a permanent thing. And that's why we talk about him being like a transition between the Old and the New Testament, because the principles that John taught would stand from that point until the day of judgment, because they're the same things that Jesus was teaching. But the baptism that he taught and its purpose would only be a temporary thing for the people of God. I'd like now to read from Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. John would continue throughout his ministry to assure people, even though he had people that followed him and helped him and considered themselves his disciples, he would continue to tell them that he was not the Messiah. He did not want people to make that mistake or that assumption that because of the things that he said and did that he was the Messiah. He kept assuring people that, in fact, he was not, but he was just the one who was sent to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. As we mentioned earlier, the Jews have been looking for the Messiah, a Savior to come for generations. And over time, we see throughout history that there were people who stepped forth making that very claim. They claimed that they were in fact the Messiah. And sometimes I think this is why so many people didn't accept Jesus, even when they saw the miracles that he performed, because this idea of somebody coming forward and saying that they were the Messiah was not a unique situation, and something that many people had tried to put forth that idea before, and of course they never were able to deliver the people, and so people realized that they were not the Messiah. So it wasn't like this was the first time somebody had come forward making that claim. And so John wanted to make it clear to everyone that he was not the Messiah, that he was simply preparing them for the Messiah. I'd like now to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. John 1, beginning in verse 19. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latch I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw him bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. I've often wondered why John did not become one of the apostles. This seemed like it would have been a natural transition for him to be among Jesus' company and continue to travel with Jesus and to teach as the apostles were sent out to do. But this was not part of what God's plan was. After Jesus was baptized of John, the work of John was not yet over. He was going into different communities, again, preaching the same idea, the Messiah is here. And now he's not just telling people that the Messiah is coming. It's like, I've seen the Messiah. The Messiah is here. The Messiah is Jesus, and you must follow after him and do the things that he says. And he prepared them for that by making them take a look at the way they were living as Jews and realizing that they weren't living right under the old covenant, that they would have to make that right with God to prepare themselves for the new covenant. I'd like now to read from John chapter 3, beginning in verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Anon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We realize that not long after this, John would eventually be arrested, and the reason that he was arrested was he was criticizing the relationship of Herod, and his he was either married or just sleeping with his brother's wife. And this, of course, is something that he was a Jew, and the Jews looked down on this as adultery, but no one dare say it. But John didn't have a problem pointing it out and criticizing Herod and his wife because of this relationship. Herod's birthday came along, and his niece danced for him, and he was so impressed with the way that she danced that he promised her anything that she wished for, up to and including half of his kingdom. And when his niece consulted with his brother's wife, she said, request the head of John the Baptist. And even though Herod was reluctant to kill John, even after all the things that he said about him, he complied with her wishes, and John was executed. I'd like now to read from Matthew chapter 17, beginning in verse 8. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things, but I say unto you that Elias is come already. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. This is right after the Mount of Transfiguration, where Moses and Elijah appear and talk to Jesus, and Peter and James and John witness this. And then Jesus says, they ask Jesus about Elijah, if he was going to remain, because the prophecy said Elijah would come declaring the time of the Messiah. And Jesus said, Elijah's already come, and nobody recognized it. And then they realized that he was talking about John, that John did fulfill that prophecy about one coming from the wilderness proclaiming the time of the Messiah. The influence of John would definitely outlive him. We find in the book of Acts that in the beginning of Acts chapter 19, Paul encounters some men there who say that they've been baptized and they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he asks them if they received the Holy Spirit. And they say, we don't know who the Holy Spirit is. We're not sure what you're talking about. And then Paul asked them how they were baptized. And they said the baptism of John. If we turn back to the previous chapter, 18, towards the end of that chapter, we see where it talks about another man there, Apollos, one who became a great speaker for the Word of God. We don't have any of his writings as the New Testament, but the New Testament tells us that he was one who had great knowledge of the Scriptures and went about teaching about God and Jesus, and he even did this before he fully understood what it was that he was preaching about, because Aquila and Priscilla encountered him, and he only knew the baptism of John. So the baptism of John was something that was popular and widespread and something that people knew about, and something that no doubt caused some degree of confusion within the early church, because people didn't realize that even though that they had been baptized with John's baptism, that once Jesus died on the cross for our sins and was resurrected, that they had to be baptized again, this time not for repentance, but for remission or forgiveness of their sins. And of course, this is something that continues to confuse man even unto this day when we talk to other people about baptism. A couple of interesting things I'd like to know before I close. John the Baptist is mentioned in the writings of Josephus. He was an ancient writer from the first century who recorded many of the things that happened in and around Jerusalem and Israel. And he writes about, and that's considered a accurate historical document by most people. And John the Baptist is mentioned in those writings. This is actually something I was not aware of before, but John is also considered a prophet in the Quran and in the teaching of Islam. He and Jesus are both looked upon as prophets. Obviously, they don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and how they can believe that they're prophets and not who the New Testament says they were is a matter for another discussion, and something that I'm sure that we'll never fully understand why people get so far off base with these kind of things. But it was interesting that that he is mentioned in there in that capacity. So hopefully tonight, I'm not sure if I've told you something that you never knew before about John the Baptist, but he is one of those characters from the Bible that I think we can look to as one who dedicated his life to the mission that God had for him. Obviously, in the day and time in which he lived, it was not the same kind of mission that we have, because his was a mission of preparedness for the Jews. And we realize that as the children of God, that we need to prepare all people and let them know that what Jesus has done for us and what God has to offer to us if we accept him. So hopefully some interesting things were said tonight, and if nothing else, maybe it'll cause you to pick up the Bible and read more about John and other such characters that can inspire us to be the best Christians that we possibly can. If there is nothing else to be said, we'll stand and sing the invitation song.